Imagine waking up every morning doing what you love to do. Well, our next story is about a dream that became reality into overnight success, international career. Travis Cormier will share step by step how it all started at age 9 with a feeling, a passion, and the love for music. And with the right mentoring and surrounding, his vision board took him exactly where he was meant to be. And now he is joining us from his room in Las Vegas, where he plays Strad in Bat Out of Hell night after night. Stay tuned. It's going to be quite entertaining. Hello, I'm Connie Rotella, and welcome to our Triple Threat podcast. I'm super excited to begin this journey with all of you. Are you ready to put your best foot forward and show up with confidence? This tool is here to help you evolve into the artist you are meant to be. Just always remember to believe, become, and be ready. Add a new skill set or refine what you already know. So here we go. My special guest today is Travis Cormier. He is an international star. He had a dream. He started playing guitar at 9 years old. Reality came into play where he participated in numerous TV shows where many people saw his talent. A lot of people wanted to mentor him. And from there, he is living an international career. I have Travis Cormier with me. It's a pleasure to speak with you today on how you developed yourself into this huge star right now, Travis.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. This is pretty crazy.
I'm actually looking at you going, oh my God, this is actually happening to me. So let's go back. You were 9 years old and you were playing guitar. Did you know then that this is what you wanted to do?
Definitely knew pretty early on that it was even like a possibility at that point, like to later on do it as a career. But I just knew the passion that I had for it was just like nothing else. Really, I would literally spend like hours and hours in my bedroom, like playing DVDs of like live concerts, Bon Jovi and AC/DC, and I would have an electric guitar not plugged in or anything, but I would just like kind of pretend like I'm playing, and I would look at those DVDs, live shows, and I would like really put myself in that like state, like if I was them, you know. And like the feeling that it gave me just like doing that. And like, I would even like, I would have a big mirror in my bedroom and I would learn like all the moves that they do at certain points. And like, I would memorize like their whole performances and I would really like feel exactly what it feels like to be on stage and to do it. And it's the same feeling that I get now actually doing it than when I was in my bedroom with no one watching. It's that same feeling. And it's pretty crazy looking back at that. Like it was just such a passion for me. And it just made me feel like I was meant to do that. And I was like, one day I want to be that. I want to be on stage in front of people. And it started like that, just in my bedroom. And eventually, actually, I had friends join in. So we would have like a fake band in my living room, and now we're like four of us doing that same thing, air guitar and air vocal lip sync or whatever. And then eventually, I actually learned how to play real guitar and started taking guitar lessons, and then formed my first band where I was a guitarist, and we had no singer at the time, so we just kind of decided to learn cover songs. So we started with like just easy 3-chord songs that we knew we could learn the best we could, and we had no singer, so we were kind of like, well, you know, it's either we try to find a singer or one of us just attempts to sing. I was really, really shy because I wasn't a good singer at all. I was actually pretty bad, but I was pretty dedicated, and I would sing karaoke in my again in my bedroom. I would just play karaoke songs and try to mimic what I would hear. So I decided to just give it a shot and try to sing in this classic rock band. And I think I was like 12 or 13 at the time. And yeah, so then I kind of gained confidence a little bit and joined a thing called Rock Camp, which was like, it was like a summer camp for 2 weeks in Moncton, New Brunswick. So you join the camp and they just pair you with like other people to form a band. And it's usually people you don't know. And then you have like 2 weeks to learn two songs. And then after the 2 weeks, you play a show at the Capitol Theater in Moncton, New Brunswick, in front of like 1,000 people or something. So it was a big deal.
For sure, for 12, 13 years old. And the fact that, yeah. you know, you mentioned really key words. It started with a feeling at 9, 10 years old. It started with a feeling. You started playing in your room. That's where the passion started developing because you had no classes, no like guitar classes at that age. You were just trying to imitate, right? Mm-hmm. And then after that, your friends came on and then you started a band at 12, 13 years old. And the other word that you use is dedication. It's because I'm listening to all the powerful words you're using from passion to being dedicated. I didn't know how to sing, but then I started, you know, listening and trying and giving it a shot. You said it, giving it a shot and building your confidence. And from there, you got this opportunity to go in this camp because rock was your style. This is what you like to do from a young age. And then you went to this camp, you met new people, and then you performed in front of 1,000 people in your hometown, Moncton, New Brunswick. And this was your first experience. How was that? Performing not in your room anymore, but performing just in a, you know, in your hometown.
That was a really big moment for me, and I think the moment that like changed that changed everything. It went from being like a dream and a passion in my bedroom and a vision to actually for the first time like being real. It gave me confidence because I was so scared of like going on stage and singing in front of people like that. I was really shy as a kid and it like traumatized me to do it, but I felt like I had to and I really wanted to, but there was like all these fears of like, what are people going to think? We actually won that year. We won Band of the Year. And one of the songs that we did, I wrote, and I wrote all the lyrics too. I didn't think of myself that much of a songwriter at that time, especially not that young. I wrote a song in the band and the coach or teacher was like, yeah, we're going with that one. And I was like, okay. So we ended up doing one of the songs I wrote in a cover and we won Band of the Year and I was singing and I was like, holy shit, like this is cool. I can do like, maybe I can do this. You know, damn, this like gets me like weirdly emotional for some reason.
He has tears in his eyes. You know what? It's so beautiful.
Dude, it's weird because I never really thought back of all this. And now that I'm thinking, it's like so, it was a powerful moment that time.
It's so real. But you know what? The reason why I wanted to interview you is because I think of all these kids that are just like you in their rooms right now, doing exactly what you're doing and not knowing how to move on to the next step. So I feel like showing them the foundation on how you started. And listening to your words, because you're using very powerful words that I want people to understand what a feeling comes. It starts with a feeling, then the passion, then the dedication. There is work. And we're not even finished with your career because we just got started. How did you move on to the next step? Now you're 13.
After that point, I knew that it was like a possibility for me and that I was, I guess it was like validation that I was good enough for myself and to keep like moving forward. What also really helped me a lot was the support that I had. My parents were really supportive. And that I think is so important, especially at a young age, because I didn't have obviously a job when I was like 10 years old. So, you know, they paid for guitar lessons. They bought me my first guitars. They bought me the equipment that I needed. And they knew how much of a passion it was for me and how happy it made me. And they supported me all the way. So that got me to, again, rock camp that they supported me doing that. It gave me confidence to start my own band and with friends from school. And that's when we really, like, I really started to take it very seriously. And we would rehearse three times a week minimum. And like every weekend they would come to my place. We had a setup in my basement and we just learned a bunch of songs. And then we started inviting our friends to the basement and we would have these like huge parties. So now we gotta play shows, but we're too young to play in bars. And there's not really like venues where we could play at because we're just starting out. So we figured that we were going to rent venues and like put on our own shows. So we somehow like contacted, the first one we did was we contacted the city and found out if we could do a show in a park next to my house. There wasn't really like rules or they were like, sure, do you like need it? We were like, no, well, we're going to rent our equipment and whatever. And we're just going to do a show. And they're like, okay. So we rented equipment, built a stage, like a wooden stage, and we did a show there at a park close to my house. And there was hundreds of people. There was like 500 kids and the cops ended up showing up because there was people doing fireworks, and so it kind of got out of hand, but it was great. And
it got out of hand already at that young age. That's pretty awesome, Travis.
Yeah, it got out of hand, and it was loud too. Like, I don't think they thought it was going to be like this big concert. Like, we had like huge speakers, and like it was really loud, and there was a lot of kids, and it was cool. And that's kind of where it started. And the next one we did, we rented the auditorium at our high school, at Matthew Martin High School. And then we had to get our own security and like get our own people that like sell tickets and stuff. So we would just hire these companies. We hired a sound company. We hired light company. And we sold our tickets to pay our expenses. And so we would just like put together like our own shows.
This is the business side. Here right now, you just entered a whole other world, because being an artist, a lot of people don't know how to do the business side. And again, you've learned that. It's like, I want to put a show on together. Let me call and let me make it happen. Magic. Mm-hmm. Bang.
And we figured it out. And it was a lot of failure at the beginning. We did one where, you know, after the auditorium, we were like, okay, now what can we do bigger? So now we decided to rent an arena, like a hockey arena. And that one, we lost a lot of money. Like, but we were trying. We weren't scared. Like, we were just trying things, and it didn't always work. That one, the problem was that the security company that we hired were very, very, like strict, and they wouldn't let people come in with alcohol. But at our age, like if I think it was maybe like 15, 16 at that point, people went to party and drink. And so when they got there and the security were like, you're not coming in because you smell like alcohol or you have alcohol. So most people weren't able to come in and weren't able to buy tickets. And so we ended up losing money, but it's okay. I mean, we learned, and we did other things after that. And but yeah, it was definitely like where I started to kind of understand more the business side of things at that point.
So you learned a lot at a young age. When did you start taking guitar classes, and when did you start taking vocal classes?
Yeah, so I started my guitar lessons the beginning. I think I was like seven or eight years old, maybe. I started with my dad, and I wasn't interested that much at first. I had an acoustic guitar. I don't think I really connected much with my teacher, with the first guitar lesson teacher. And so I quit after a while. I wasn't really into it. And then a couple years later, maybe like 10 or 11 years old, I got an electric guitar for Christmas. And when I got an electric guitar, then it kind of changed. Then it became fun. Then like I got a guitar amp, and then and I discovered like rock and roll and all these cool bands. And then I really got passionate, and I got a guitar teacher that was like a rock guy, and I connected with him, and it was like a lot of fun. And every week I couldn't wait to like to have my lesson with him, and we talked about music, and we jammed, and he was like really cool. Chris was his name, and he played in a lot of bands, and I looked up to him. I was like, man, like I want to play like you, and I want to be like you. And I took it a lot more seriously, and I didn't start vocal lessons really till I went to study a Musicians Institute in LA later on. I was 17. That's when I took vocal more seriously.
Okay, so now you're 15. This mentor named Chris, you looked up to him. It started there. That's where the like serious passion, like before it was serious play, now it's like serious passion, because for you to move to LA, to Hollywood at 17, that means you knew that this is something you wanted to do and pursue.
Like high school, I was still doing my thing with my band, and we were having fun and doing these shows with these kids. I played covers but I wanted to take it to another level. I knew that I really wanted to do this for a living. And then, you know, when you're almost like graduated high school, everyone starts asking you what you want to do. And a lot of people, like even my teachers at that time, when I told them I wanted to do music, they were like, no, but like, what do you really want to do? Like, that's a passion. Like, that's a passion. That's a hobby. You need something like a job. That's what I want to do. That's my job. Like I want to make money doing music. And they're like, yeah, you know, that's cute, but a real job, you know? So,
right.
Thank God I didn't listen to those people.
You followed your heart because you knew inside there was something special. And obviously there was this energy guiding you to the next step all the time. I feel like when I read all your bios or stories, I'm like, wow, he had the right mentors, first of all, because I believe in mentoring. And you had the right path because you landed where you are now, but we will get there soon because you're actually speaking to me from Vegas in your room, you know, and you're doing 8 shows a week. And that's intense. So, okay, going back to LA, how long did you stay there in this music program that you were in?
Life has guided me through a lot of things. I'm like very spiritual. I think it's like a lot of like energy. You put the right energy out there and you attract certain things. And so I always like kind of attracted what I wanted. LA was actually kind of crazy how that worked because I was doing my thing with my band and I met these guys that were in a complete other band doing another thing. And they were kind of, they were looking for a singer. And I was like, well, you know, I have my thing with my guys, but I'll come in just to like, to meet you and to jam and whatever. And I went there for an initial like meeting and we played a couple songs and it didn't really click. And like, that was kind of it. But I met the guys and they were really cool. And a couple days later, one of the guys that I met there, Matt, which was a drummer, he told me, you know, it was really nice meeting you and all that. I'm moving to LA to go study drums at Musicians Institute in Hollywood. But, you know, it was great meeting you. And he kind of just said that like that. And I was like, I'm about to graduate high school. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. LA would be pretty damn cool. I'm like, can you send me the info of like this school? And so he sends me the info and I start looking at it, this like music school in LA. And I start getting really excited because I dreamt of LA since I'm a kid. And I have a vision board that I made probably like 13 or 14 or whatever. So years before this, before the LA thing. And there's a picture of LA and like in a stage and the crowd. There's a lot of things, but LA was one of the things on my board. I ended up meeting up with like talking to my parents about it. My parents were definitely not down for that at the beginning. But I really tried to convince them that this is it. This is what I want to do. I'm going to regret it if I don't. And we ended up meeting up with Matt's parents. So they kind of reassured my parents that I was going to be okay. And I was going to live with Matt. And so I'll have a friend there and all that. And so that's how it happened. I eventually convinced my parents to apply. I applied. And I remember we went on a week cruise in Miami or whatever. And when the day we got back from the cruise, there was all these messages on the voicemail. Listening to the messages, and one of the messages was like, hey, this is Gary from Musicians Institute in Los Angeles. You've been accepted at Musicians Institute. And
wow.
Yeah, that was like such a cool moment.
Can you just bring me back to that moment? Just put yourself back at that 16, 17 year old boy and you're listening to this message. Like, go back there. What are you feeling right now?
It was a bittersweet moment because my band was there at the house when we were playing that. And I also had a girlfriend at the time. I knew I had to leave that life behind. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty hard. So it was like a bittersweet moment that like I knew that band I was gonna leave for a while. The girlfriend, I knew that wasn't gonna work out. Definitely bittersweet. It was like excitement, but a lot of fear. I was gonna move to a city where I knew no one. I didn't know if I was gonna be able to handle that. I knew I was gonna miss my family. It was a lot of emotion, to be honest. It was like, man, am I really doing this? I'm so glad I did though.
Of course, and you manifested. By the way, who does a vision board at 13 years old? Travis does.
I've always been really into attracting things. I think we all have our beliefs that'll help us get through life. And for me, it always kind of worked out that way. So I just keep doing it. And
I love that story because I do believe in you attract what you want. You work hard for what you want and you bring the right people in the journey, right? And the right support system, which your first support system was your parents. I mean, without your parents, you would not be where you are now, because it is a hard road, you know, it's not easy. Yes, there's passion, there's hard work, there's things that work, there's things that don't work. And then there are opportunities, and you seem to say yes to the opportunities. So now you moved to LA. You were there for how long?
My classes were a year and a half.
Okay.
Of studies. And then after that, I started playing and touring with bands and working and doing that in the U.S. in L.A. I learned a lot in school, a lot of other things too, about like studio engineering, music business, vocal theory. So a lot of other things that I didn't really know before. But the big thing for me moving to LA wasn't so much the education that I was going to get, because I could have got that education anywhere else that would have been a lot cheaper than living in Los Angeles. For me, it was more the experience and being there and meeting people and really like getting into that world and that feel and playing gigs on the Sunset Strip and like doing it for real, discovering like myself was something that was, you know, moving there by myself. I kind of had to like learn how to live by myself, because
being independent.
Like, yeah, I've been there before. I was like very dependent, like on my parents, and you know, they like did everything. And then now I'm like, okay, I have my own, you know, my own life, my own apartment. I got to do everything on my own. And I learned a lot that like 1 year. And it was also very difficult. I remember the first year I was struggling a lot, missing my family a lot, missing my friends a lot. The first year I lost my grandfather that I was like really, really close to. And he was actually like one of my big supporters that like helped me get the courage to move there and stuff. So that was rough. So they, I had like periods of, you know, of like, man, I just want to go back and like not be here. But it's all part of the experience. It ended up being a really good decision, me moving there. Like after I graduated, I stayed there for a while and toured and worked there. I came back. I was like in a like transition period with my visa. So I had to come back for like a short period of time before being able to go back to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And when I came back to Canada, I was kind of like wondering, like, what do I do now to like pass the time? Do I just play shows and whatever? And I got a call to do The Voice in the U.S. I did the like first audition, whatever, like sent a video and whatever. And then I got approved for the second audition. And then I got a call and they were like, hey, by the way, are you Canadian? You're Canadian? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, God, we're so sorry, but you actually can't do The Voice. You have to be an American citizen. And so I'm like, okay, that's a bummer, because I kind of got excited about it. Yeah. And then, like, shortly after, I saw these things of, like, The Voice Canada, La Voix in Montreal and all that. And I was like, well, that could be cool. It's the same thing in another country and whatever. So I kind of just, like, decided, like, why not try it?
Right.
And I had, like, no expectation at all when I did that. And actually, at the same time, I got a call to do this gig in Dubai. And it was like a really high paying thing, but it was for like 6 months. It was like in like a hotel in Dubai. And I would just sing like songs with the band. And I remember the money being really good, but after 6 months, the contract would end and I would be basically just back to Canada. So I had to like make the decision. And for me, it was like, okay, well, The Voice is more of like I won't get that amount of exposure doing anything else, you know. So even if it doesn't really like pay as much, after 6 months I'll probably gain a lot more than just the money that I'd be making in Dubai, and then coming back to square one, to where The Voice I can be seen by like millions of people. So I made that decision to do The Voice. And yeah, I just had like no expectation. Dream On was a song that I sang so many times in my life that I was comfortable with. And I was just like, yeah, I'm going to pick a song that I don't have to like stress about too much, because I've done it so many times. And I just kind of went there and didn't know it was going to like change my life.
That moment changed your life. Okay. So you went on that stage, you dream on. What a perfect song for you, I find, because you're living this dream nonstop. Okay. So then obviously the judges reacted and one of them took you on. And how was this journey on La Voix?
A journey. It was a wild one. Like I said, I did the audition and then it doesn't air for like months. And so you're just kind of waiting. And the night that it aired on TV, I was living in a hotel on St. Catherine in Montreal and I was by myself in my room. And I turn on the TV and the show starts and I'm the first audition of this season. and I'm like, cool. And I remember like while it was playing, my phone just ding, 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 notifications just like of people following and commenting and like, and
you just went viral. You went viral.
Yeah, it just like went viral and it was kind of like crazy, surreal. And I was like, what the hell's going on? But I went to sleep that night and the next morning I remember I wake up and I go down on St. Catherine to go get a coffee and I didn't know like the impact of this show. I didn't know that like millions of people watch this. And so I'm just walking down the street and people are like, oh my God, it's him. And I get in the cab and the cab driver is like, dude, it's you. Like, what the hell? And people are freaking. And I'm just like, what is going on? Like, and then I realized like how big this thing was and the impact that that audition had. I wasn't expecting that at all.
No, but we speak a lot about overnight fame. You know how everybody's in it for overnight fame. You've been doing this for a while, so it's different. But now you're getting a feeling going, oh my God, I've been doing this. And you didn't know the impact. Like you literally let go because you just, let me just try. I sing this song. Let me just go audition for fun. And then the next morning you wake up and you're the same person, but the world for some reason now knows you.
Yeah.
So this is what social media is all about. So for you, not that, you know, because people work hard on social media to get all these viewers, you didn't have much to do. And then all of a sudden you blew up on YouTube, you blew up everywhere. How did that make you feel? Like, how does a person feel? Because in overnight, it changed and you're walking and people know who you are.
As cheesy as it sounds, like it's very important to like, to believe in yourself and have faith that like all your work is eventually, it's going to pay off. Because, you know, it's like, again, I think when you know what you want, you like, you plant that seed and you believe it, you don't know when it's actually going to happen. You just have to know that it will. And that's the moment for me that like, it happened all that, like all those hours of practice and all those, like, it finally in that moment, like, paid off. And it's pretty crazy because Dream On's a song that I sang a lot of times before in front of like nobody, like in bars where like nobody would even pay attention or nobody would even listen.
Wow.
And it would have been easy for me to just like give up and think that I'm not good enough. You know, because I think most people, that's kind of what that's what you want to do. Like you feel, oh, people aren't paying attention. Like maybe I'm not meant to do this, you know, but I don't know. I kept going. And then at that moment, it's like, okay, well now that I'm on a platform and it's on TV and I'm getting all this recognition and like finally, like people are like recognizing the talent that I've been trying to like to work for years. And, but then after that, after all this like big rush of like, then it's like, okay, now what's next? And that also is another thing that is sometimes hard for people, because after you got to set another goal. You can't just like stay there and be satisfied with that. It's like, okay, well, what's the next thing now? And so you just keep going. And
they always say you climb a mountain. So when you reach the highest mountain, you're there. But for the next level, you're always at the bottom of the next mountain that you have to reach your next, you know, so you're kind of going up and then you're going to start at the bottom of another mountain to start a new one. So this happened I believe in 2016, you were on La Voix in 2016. And then, right. And then after that, because of the Dream On song, Aerosmith obviously heard it and loved it. Did he invite you to sing in Niagara Falls? Did you sing with him? And that happened like in 2018, which is 2 years later.
contacted from their management to go see the show and just to meet him. He's been my idol and probably my biggest inspiration as a singer would be Steven Tyler, for sure. And so I went to Niagara Falls with Mike, a friend of mine, which was the one that set all this up. And he's a really great dude and done a lot for me. And he's like, he's really, he thinks big and dreams big. And he's the one that contacted and set all that up for me. So it's great. So I went up there with him and I got to meet him before the show. He was super, super cool. We watched the Dream On video in front of him. And he was like, you know, it's so cool. And you see my dad crying in the video. And he thought that was such a beautiful moment and all that. And then he tells me like, okay, well, I'm going to go do the show. I'll see you after. So you can go, I'll get you a pass and you can go front row center. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm standing there front row center watching the show. And I've seen Aerosmith like so many times, but I'm still always like blown away. And during Don't Want to Miss a Thing, he just comes up to me and hands me the mic and just lets me like sing the song. And I was like kind of in shock, but also just went for it. And it was kind of like that movie. I don't know if you saw Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, for sure.
Well, like the beginning when he passes him the mic and then he just takes over and like it was literally that. And
that was very sweet of him to share the stage with someone like you. That was very sweet of Steven Tyler, because not every artist will do something like that. But there's something you did. You touched his heart in order for him to give you that visibility.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was so, so cool. And I'm so thankful that he gave me that moment. It was pretty surreal.
You're still living there. You're still there.
Yeah, I'm like there. And I'm like, dude, that was so great.
You remember how old you were?
23 or 24.
Wow. Still very young in your career.
So a lot of cool things came out of doing The Voice. I got to open for Bon Jovi too, which is another one of my like favorite bands of all time. So after the Steven Tyler thing, I want to obviously record an album, and I signed a record deal. And we started recording in Montreal with a producer that the label kind of thought would be a good fit. And we started recording, and a couple of days in, I really wasn't feeling it. I thought like this is not, it's not right. It's not what I want. It's not going the direction that I would want. And so they kind of got frustrated with me not wanting to work with this guy. And they were kind of like, okay, well then like, who do you want to work with? Like, went with my like wildest, like, this is probably impossible, but if it would happen, I would totally like. And so I was like, Bob Rock would be my all time. Like, he did all the Motley Crue albums, Metallica, the Black Album. He did Aerosmith albums. He's like the legend producer that everyone wants to work with one day. So I kind of just threw that out there. And I was kind of laughing, and I was like, dude, they're going to laugh at this. I'd be like, are you fucking crazy? This is not happening. And somehow I'm in bed one morning. It's like 5 or 6 a.m. and I receive a phone call from Hawaii, and I answer. He's like, hey, it's Bob Rock. And I'm like, nah, someone's like prank calling me, this guy. And yeah, it was him. And he wanted to see if I was like serious, because he kept like asking me questions about like, okay, so I hear that like you want to work together, like, have you been writing? Are you a songwriter? What do you write about? What inspires you? Like, it was like kind of an interview at first. And he was like, okay, well, if you're serious about this, I'm not saying that I'm gonna do it, but start sending me like ideas and song melodies and whatever, and I'll work with you, and we'll see if there's a possibility eventually of working together. So I just started like sending him stuff, and he would come back and comment and be like, hey, it's okay, but I would change this and I would do that. And we kind of started back and forth until eventually he was like, okay, let's do this. Come to Vancouver and we'll record an album. And then he got me to work with Richie Sambora, the guitarist of Bon Jovi. And yeah, and I wrote songs with him. I wrote songs with Nikki Sixx of Motley Crue. And that was all through Bob Rock just trying to like help me out. So that happened too, which was crazy.
So that was before you met Bon Jovi and you opened up here in Montreal?
Yeah.
So it was in the morning you get these calls, right? You wake up in the morning and your life changes all the time.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy, huh?
So now you're writing and you're doing your album. Flow went really well with Bob Rock, right? Everything went really well. You finished your album.
Yeah. That was definitely the right fit. And it was such a great process working with him and all these like big, you know, rock guys that I look up to. I mean, I got so lucky to record with, like, my band was, Keith Scott plays with Bryan Adams, Chris Traynor plays with Bush. So they're all, like, really top players. And it really, like, pushed the bar to, like, okay, like, now this is professional. I'm working with, like, the best of the best. So I have to be the best that I can be. So it really pushed me to another level of, like, okay, this is real. I'm a professional now. This is not a passion. Well, it is, but I mean, it's also like, it's my life. It's my career. I need to take this seriously. And it's so I really started to. Yeah.
Everybody dreams to have half of what you had during this journey, because from the beginning, it just flows very well, even if there was ups and downs a few times, but literally mm-hmm. you were always connected to the right people that got you somewhere. So now from that experience, how did you land Bon Jovi? Who called you early morning to tell you, can you open up for Bon Jovi?
So Bon Jovi was actually a contest thing, which actually had nothing really to do with me working with Richie. They were playing at the Bell Center in Montreal and Evenco decided to do like a contest for who was going to open. Wow. And the contest was like with votes. So people and my fan base know how big of a fan I am. And I think they were like, dude, he's got to play there. And so I have like the best fans ever. And they're so supportive. So they just kind of all got together and shared the post and just got me there. And I remember, too, like, it's so cool also to have like such supportive artist friends. I'm on the same label as one of my close friends, Ludovic Bourgeois, which is also a singer in Montreal. And,
yes.
And we did a lot of shows together and all that. And so like he could have signed up for that and opened for Bon Jovi. But instead like he shared my post and he was like, dude, like, you deserve to do this. Like you're such a big fan and I want you to do this. And he kept like sharing my post to his fans too. And I think like that it's so beautiful when you see like artists supporting other artists too.
You just said that, there's so much competition. There's so much competition in this world. But in your mm-hmm. case, it was a lot of giving, a lot of trusting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, this industry, like it's such a hard like industry as itself. Like I think we have to stick together and help each other out, because especially now it's becoming even harder, I think, with like where social media and where the internet and people's attention spans, and like it's really hard to like to make a living with music and make it. And so I think when you can have support from other people, from other artists that share the same passion, I think that's very, very important.
And it happened very naturally to you compared to a lot of people that are forcing this. So, you know, you've done a few competition TV shows, not knowing, because you were just going, being like, let's just try this, right? You weren't going in. You were just like, let's have fun. But at the same mm-hmm. time, what do you think of this competition that's happening in these TV series? Like, I mean, do you think it's a healthy way to go? In your case, obviously, you just showed up and it just happened. It wasn't something you were looking for, but because of that,
yeah.
It brought you to where you are.
Yeah, I think it like it depends how you look at it. And for me, I'm going there for the exposure for people to see what I do. And if I make it on the show, I won already. Like once I did my blind audition passed on TV, I was like, that's it. Like I won. Even if I make it to the end and I win, which I didn't, I would have still gotten the same amount of people that saw my talent as if I would have won, you know? So it doesn't matter at that point. It's like everyone there is the winner because they all made it there and they all got the exposure. And then after, it's like how you're going to use that to further your career, you know? And the only thing that that made a difference between me finishing second and first is money. And I don't really, I got out of that and went on tour and made money that way. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me.
It doesn't mean that you have to win a competition in order for you to be seen or heard. You just took this platform and people loved you. And obviously, the money comes in no matter what. The money will show up in other ways. That's so beautifully said. And you know what? Everything you say too is you've worked really smart. You know, when people say in this business, you have to work smart. A lot of people forget that part, but you have. Your foundation was solid to begin with. You built on confidence. You built on that strength and what you needed to work on, what you needed to look for. You did the proper preparation and research. And here you are now, like, sharing all this story. For me, I'm inspired. This is what I wish for everybody. I wish that everybody has a longevity career, something that they're going to be proud of. And then once you get there, you're going to share, because I'm sure you're already sharing a lot of, you know, like, you can mentor a lot of the next generation of talent. And I just want to finish off your beautiful story, because now after, you know, recording your album, opening up for Bon Jovi, and you're strat on Bat Out of Hell in Vegas. What? How did you get there?
Oh man. You said that I just got chills. It's man. This is crazy too, how this happened. So now I'm just like on tour in Montreal, doing my thing that I've been doing for the past like couple of years, touring with my band around Quebec and New Brunswick. And like, so this summer I did a couple shows because I produced my own show. And so I wanted to like really take it another level, and like got like backup singers, got another guitarist, bought like pyro and extra lighting and my own light guy, my own sound guy, and my own tech. And like, I built this big show that I wanted to come out with and present. And we had these dates and felt kind of discouraged a little bit, because I sing in English. And even though I was in Montreal, and a lot of people kept telling me that it would be way easier for me to sing in French, because I could get grants, I would get on radio, I'd get a lot of radio play if I did sing in French. It's not me, and I don't feel like that's what I've never really sang in French. I don't listen to a lot of French music. Like, I'd be lying if I was like, you know what, I'm a French singer, and I don't like it, and I respect all the French singers in Quebec, and they're all great, but that's just not me. And so singing in English in Quebec has made it like really hard, and I put so much energy and effort and all that in my show, and I felt like I wasn't getting back like the recognition really that I like deserve for all the work that I've been putting in. Started like having conversations with my manager about going back to the US, and I was like starting to like put that out there. And I remember we had a meeting this summer, and the whole meeting was about like, I need to figure out a way to get back to the US. I want to go back to the US. I think like the market there for what I do, English rock, there's more of a market for that than here in Quebec. So at that time I was also, which is just like maybe a weird coincidence, but I also started reading a book about like attracting things and so I like started like getting my kind of like my mind back into that. One day I get an Instagram DM from one of my ex-roommates that I lived with for a very, very short period of time in LA that I hadn't talked to in 8 years. And I remember the last time I saw him was on my 21st birthday. I was really, really drunk, and he had an audition the next day, and I woke him up with, I had a snake, and I put a snake in his bed and woke him up, and he was so mad. He was like, Travis, I have an audition the next day, like, let me go to bed. And that was the last time I saw him or talked to him. And he messages me on Instagram and is like, hey man, would you be interested in auditioning for a musical? And at first I was like, no, not really. I'm not really that much into like musicals, and I'm doing my thing. And he's like, well, if you are, like, it's Bat Out of Hell. And I was like, Bat Out of Hell, like Meatloaf? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, this could be interesting. So I start looking it up, and he gets me in contact with the casting director. So how this happened was, he was shooting a movie. He's an actor, George, he was shooting a movie, I think, in Atlanta or something, and with the casting director for Bat Out of Hell. And they had been auditioning singers since June, and this now was like end of August, and they didn't find like the really the person that they were looking for. And so she mentioned that to the cast of the movie, like, if anyone knows someone that could play this role. And I guess he didn't say anything for like 2 days. And 2 days later, he came up to her and was like, hey, I might have someone. And he showed her a video of me singing Dream On. And when she saw that, she was like, I got to get this guy to audition. He contacted me. I said, I'd do the audition. So I remember she sent me the things to learn. It was 8 or 9 p.m. And she said, you'll have an audition tomorrow at noon on a Zoom call. And she sends me the tracks and the lyric and the lines to learn. And I was so overwhelmed. I was like, this is a lot for me to learn like by tomorrow at noon. And so I went out to the store, bought a bunch of Red Bull and coffee, and just stayed up all night just learning songs and practicing. And I remember like I was so nervous because I was like, I really want to get this. I really want to do a good job and show up prepared. I showed up at noon on a Zoom call in my living room in Montreal, and they were like, okay, like show us what you got. And I just sang Bat Out of Hell, For Crying Out Loud, a couple songs from that album. And it was like in front of the whole, like the producers, the creative cast, the like a bunch of people in the conference room. And after that, they were like, okay, like, have you ever like acted before? They kept asking me. And I was like, you know, I'll be honest with you guys. I don't have much like acting experience. I've been a performer all my life. I sang all my life, but I know I can do this. And I was like, if you give me the opportunity, I will do it and I will learn. And like, and I did another audition the next day. Dude, we're not casting someone on a Skype on a Zoom call. And so they didn't even like want to be there. And then after the first one, the people that were there were like, dude, you got to see this guy. Like, and so I did a second one the next day with those people that are more old school that didn't really like want to cast someone on a Zoom call. So I did the same audition, and then they loved it. They made me an offer that same day, and they were like, if you accept, you're moving to Vegas in like 3 weeks. And I was like,
come on, okay. Travis, this is better than this. Oh my god. Good. Your life is just magical. You are blessed and in every single way. How are you taking this all in? Because right now you're doing 8 shows a week, because from being on tour with your band is different than playing in a musical and doing 8 shows a week. Like, you have to take care of yourself. You're not going out and partying at night, right? Or sleeping.
Definitely not.
No.
Definitely not. No, no. But I love it. Like, I'm so happy getting to do what I love every night. Like, every show I take a moment to just like sink it all in and appreciate the fact that I get to do this and that I get to sing every night. Like, it's just crazy. But it does take a lot of discipline. Like you said, I'm not out partying, definitely not. And I have to be on top of my game. I mean, this is Vegas, and the shows here are the best of the best. And they didn't cast me if they didn't think that I could do it. And when I got here, we had 8 to 10 hour days, 7 days a week for 3 weeks. And to put all this together, and to put a show like this together in 3 weeks, it's a lot of work. But for me, I kept thinking, like, you know, they believed in me so much that they went to get a guy from Montreal. They got me a visa and flew me out here. I can't let those people down. You know, like they all believed in me so much to get me here. And I just didn't want to let them down. So I just put in like so much work, and it's cool because they were all there opening night, obviously, all the producers, and they were all like, dude, we're happy we got you, and you fit this role. And they were, I think they were really happy. So that just, that makes me super happy and makes it all worth it.
What a dream come true. But they flew you in 3 weeks after. They actually said yes. Thank God for Zoom. People are saying Zoom auditions are, you know, they're not having fun. But if it wasn't for these Zoom auditions, a lot of people like you would not have these opportunities, because who would know, right? And you got flown in. And how long did you go into rehearsal? Because right now you said, I don't act, but I will do everything I can to make this real. So how did you learn everything in a short amount of time?
Well, I think like the acting, I knew I could
deliver
act, because like it came kind of natural, because being like a performer and you kind of in a way like develop some sort of like character, not character, yes, but like, you know, your ways of performing and your ways of tapping into that, like, you know. And so I knew I could do it. I didn't think it was going to be a problem at all. And I'm sure obviously they did too, because they wouldn't have risked, mm-hmm, getting me out here. But I also had really, really good teachers and coaches, and the director, Jay, was just so great to work with. He was just so calm and made me feel at ease and like home. And also most of my scenes, are all, so like Battle of Hell, like it's a love story basically, yeah, between Strat and Raven. And like, so most of my scenes are with Raven, and she has obviously a lot more acting experience than me. So she guided me a lot through this whole process and like helped me so much. So I'm very thankful to have like those people that believed in me and helped me do it. If it wasn't for them, I'm just so thankful to have good people around me that helped me out. And
always, you are very well surrounded. How is your work ethic in order to do all this? Like, how long is your contract right now?
So it's a year. Hopefully it'll keep going after. I love this show so much, and I'm so passionate about the song, and the songs are just amazing, and the role that I play, I think, is perfect. It's such a perfect fit. So I hope this show goes on for a very long time.
I'll make sure to come and see you. I'm definitely going to come in Vegas. If you're still there, I'm going to come and see it, because I love my Vegas shows. And
yeah.
Are you missing the touring life with your band, or are you really content to where you are?
You know what? I don't miss it, because I'm capable of doing other things. And when I got when I did that audition and got it, I discovered that I have a way bigger work ethic than I thought I had. I didn't think I had that in me to work that hard. Made me think that I can do a lot more than I thought I could. Mm-hmm. I jumped into something that I've never done, musical theater and acting, and I worked and I learned it. And so now I'm like, what other things I'm scared of that I could be trying, that I could do, you know? So, and that's exciting. That's really exciting. So I feel like I got back to like that, and I had been comfortable for a while doing what I'm doing, and now I'm back to like, I want to do things that scare me, and I want to like work hard and get it. And so like life is like, it feels like life is exciting again. It's like the possibilities are all there again, and I'm like, what can I do now? Yeah, to just make life exciting.
I have many ideas for you,
because well, you let me know.
Right now I feel like I can create your vision board for what's to come, because you're going to star in a movie next, and you're definitely going to be on Broadway. Who knows, you're going to maybe create your own shows in a few years. So those are all things that are aligning for you because of the openness that you had to play with life. You said yes. Mm-hmm. You kept on saying yes to life, which life is just playing back with you, which is the most beautiful thing. You know, I spend years trying to train the next generation in having this openness. And me and you don't even know each other. We just started on a conversation on Instagram. And I'm like, I need to interview him, because he has the perfect story for anybody with the dream that becomes reality. But not only Montreal level, because you knew in your heart, I'm like, I'm not a French singer. What am I going to do here? I need to fulfill my soul. I need to fulfill all of my talents. It's endless possibilities for you. And listen, the universe is listening and giving you this international career. And there's so much more to come, which I'm getting excited for you. And I'm going to be following your journey. And on your vision board, what is next that you haven't fulfilled yet? What's still up there that you're like, oh, I haven't done this yet?
Well, you said it. Definitely movies is something that I would love to do, or TV show. Starting acting classes and working with a coach one-on-one to develop that side of things. And so that's definitely an avenue that I would like to adventure in. But I think, like you said, it's so important. I think to say yes to things in life, and things don't come or don't happen for nothing. And like when this opportunity, the Vegas thing happened, so I worked my ass up to get the audition. When they told me I could have it and they made me the offer, I got like really, really scared, and I almost turned it down. I was so close to turning it down because I was comfortable and I had just moved in a new place. I was just moving in, like we had just furnished the place and all that, and like I don't know, to me it was like to leave all this again, to move into like another country again, and then to go into something that I've never done, like scare the shit out of me. But I was like, if I say no to this, like how many of those opportunities come in a lifetime? And if you start saying no, I just feel like life or the universe or whatever is going to be like, okay, well, we're going to stop sending them to you if you don't want to take them, you know, kind of deal. Like, we'll give those opportunities to someone else if you're not going to take it. I think it's important to just say yes and go for it and think, like, what's the worst that can happen? I go there and I don't like it, I'll come back. But as soon as I got here, like, literally the first day, I knew I was exactly where I was supposed to be. And I was like, this was the right move, and I don't regret it for a second. And, yeah, I'm where I'm supposed to be right now. So I don't know what the future is gonna hold. I never really know, but
the future is gonna be beautiful. Oh my God, Travis, I'm not even worried about you. You trust life so much. It's such an insane ride that you're having. This is like the dream life. If there's anything that you want to tell that little 9-year-old boy in you, going back all these years, because now we're speaking of a span of 20 years in this path. If you close your eyes and say, what would I tell my 9-year-old self?
To trust intuition, to trust like gut feeling, to follow what you think is right and what you believe in. Definitely to surround yourself with the right people, because you can't do it on your own. You really can't. And it's very important to get people to help you along the way. And I think also not to be scared to ask for help, because people will want to help you. And if they see that you have a dream and you believe in it, they'll want to help you get there and they'll want to be a part of it. And that's a beautiful thing. And if you can get people to be a part of it and believe in it as much as you do, and then grow in it together, it's so beautiful. What's really important is just to like to first know what you want and to discover it. And I think that's a thing that some people just never really discover what they really want or what they're passionate about. And I think it's a very important question to ask yourself. And if you don't know what it is, I think you have to go out there and try things until you figure it out. Like I played hockey, I played soccer, I played every sport, and I tried like everything, and I took art classes, and I played baseball, and I just like tried so many things until I found what really resonated with me was music. But if I didn't like try all those things, I probably would have never figured that out, and I would have just lived my life working a normal job and just going through life that way. So I think it's important to first like find what your passion is, what really makes you feel happy, what like lights a fire in you, and what your purpose is. And then once you find that and you know what you want, then it's just like believing that you're gonna get there, and believing that if you plant that seed every day and you work every day, eventually it's gonna grow, and you just have to believe in it and really have faith that it will happen. And it will happen. I mean, and when you see it happen once and then you know, it's like discovering the secret. Like, then you're like, okay, like now I know this. I know that it gets exciting. Now I know that this works and I have proof. So then life becomes exciting because you're like, I'm going to try this again. And when it works a second time and a third time and a fourth time. And now for me, it's been like, I don't know how many times that this has worked. Now I hacked this shit. I know this works. So it's exciting.
Discovering the Secret will be the title of this episode for sure, with Travis Cormier. Oh my gosh. I had such a pleasure interviewing today. If you had any last words of wisdom that you want to share with the listeners, anybody with a dream, what would
it be? To enjoy the journey, to have fun along the way. Like, it's good to have like a goal of what you want to accomplish. But if you don't love every step of the journey, even the hard times, even the times after, like you said, like after you climb that mountain and you start at the bottom again, you need to love that part of the journey too. At the bottom, the reset, the okay, well, now I'm back to square one and I need to find another goal. And you need to love all those steps. If not, I don't think it's really worth the end goal. When you get there, it might not be what you expected or what you wanted. And if you don't love every step of the way, then what's it worth, really? To enjoy the journey and to love every part of it, and to just have faith that wherever it takes you, it's gonna be great.
Thank you for sharing everything, your honesty, your heart with us, your passion. We definitely felt it, your love for what you do. And especially, I want a shout out to everybody that supports Travis, because without you guys, and he says it many times in the interview, without you guys, he wouldn't be doing everything he loves to do every single second minute of the day. Yeah. He's doing what he loves to do. This is like,
yeah, for this, sure.
This is a goal for everybody. Imagine waking up every morning and doing what you love to do and having that smile or those tears that I was able to see, because I'm seeing him in his room right now. I'm sure you have a show tonight and you also have to get ready for your show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make you rest your voice. I'm thanking you from the bottom of my heart. You've been a pleasure to speak with, and I can't wait to keep watching you evolve into this artist, into this human you are. And I hope you're going to give back to the next generation, because you have a lot to share, and because of those wonderful mentors that helped you. I hope this is one of your plans too one day, because we would love to see what you're going to be able to keep giving out to the universe.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. You've been so great, and it's been a pleasure to share all that. And I hope to that this inspired people, and I'm here to inspire and to help. If anyone doesn't know how to navigate through anything, like, you know, I'm here to help out people that want to do this and pursue this, and I will help out anyone any way I can, because I had people that helped me out when I was just starting out. So if there's anyone out there that needs guidance or whatever, reach out, and I will definitely do my best to help.
Well, thank you, Travis. That's wonderful. Have a great
show. Thank you. Thank you so much.